Welcome to another edition of The Work. I'm Ryan Basham. Your engineer, producer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And here's your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Hello. Yay. Welcome back to episode 4 of The Work.
Yeah,
wow. We have been doing this. And this episode will actually go up the week in which it's recorded.
Can you believe this stuff?
Crazy.
I'm still working on episode 1 and 2 because of the technical issues of learning.
But I love that we learned stuff while we were recording our earliest episodes, but we kept doing it. And you're eventually all going to be able to hear them. And you'll go, wow, it's like early episodes of The Simpsons when Matt Groening was drawing really ugly people.
I think that what's going to happen is we're going to decide to take a couple of weeks off and we can air those as the lost episodes.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's very, very cool.
Isn't that cool?
Well, what's lost in the news today, Ryan? Because I know we're going to start with that and then get into a little tip about finding your people. No special guest this week, so it's going to be mostly news, I think. Yeah,
mostly news, and you know we've got a lot of pilot pickups. First, I want to cover, though, The Closer with Keira Sedgwick. They're trying to find ways to extend the life of that show with Keira Sedgwick in it. It's currently on a 15-episode order, but they're looking at making it a 21-episode season, assuming Keira will do it. They're also trying to find the best spinoff option, which includes possibly maybe doing a spinoff with Mary McDonald's character or one of the other characters on the show. This is reported as reported by Deadline, by the way. We have a lot of pilot pickups. David E. Kelley's Wonder Woman got a pilot pickup.
Woo-hoo!
Michael Patrick King's Man's World. J.J. Abrams had a pilot starring Michael Emerson and Terry O'Quinn of Lost, but that's getting pushed to next season. Smash, a one-hour musical about the mounting of a musical based on an idea by Steven Spielberg. And
it's
I Hate That I Love You.
It's hilarious. Isn't on that so just, many levels.
They're going to have all original music.
Yeah, I'm down.
I Hate That I Love You from Will and Grace creator, I think creator, Joni Marchenko?
Komut. Yeah, Komut were the Matt Mushnick and Komut.
Komut.
The pair.
Which is such a fun name. Those are all at NBC. Fox has picked up a pilot starring Ethan Hawke called Exit Strategy, directed by Antoine Fuqua.
That's more and more film people coming to TV.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just had Kathy Bates. I mean, I can't believe Kathy Bates is on TV, but let's not get into that right now. CBS has Vince Uncensored from exec producer Conan O'Brien and Rookies from Richard Price and Robert De Niro.
Crazy.
Isn't that insane? NBC's picked up a pilot called 17th Precinct from Battlestar Galactica, creator of the reimagined series, Ron Moore. And Aaron Sorkin's Cable News Network project is awaiting green light at HBO. May happen, may also feature in one way or another Keith Olbermann, who recently made his exit from MSNBC.
I'm so okay with that.
Isn't that
kind of
great?
Aaron Sorkin, period. I'm going to watch anything he's put together.
I feel like Aaron Sorkin lives somewhere in the brain of Keith Olbermann, because if you watch his special comments and his rants, they're so very... They're quick and they're articulate, kind of like he fits perfectly into the world of Aaron Sorkin, I think.
Now, and how about the timeline on that? Because I know we had spoken briefly about this, that the Keith Olbermann's contract...
His deal out, and he had been threatening to leave, and they didn't even know for sure he was going to leave until he actually did it on the air. But his exit deal includes a time where he's barred from being on camera. They could shoot this thing, get it in the can, and then wait. And no one knows how long it's going
to
be.
Well, I think that Keith Olbermann has been threatening to quit for a long time, and I'm certain that the Comcast merger has a great deal to do with...
Ooh.
You know, they keep saying it didn't, though. What's-his-face that runs MSNBC, whose name is escaping me now, they keep saying that it's his network, he's accountable to no one, he makes deals without needing any additional authority, and that...
I just don't know if that's true.
I don't know, that just seems
because he makes decisions on his own and doesn't need any other authority, blah, 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 doesn't mean that he didn't see the writing on the wall and go, dudes, I'm out of here.
Well,
it points more to that than anything else.
Well, Keith Olbermann's show was the highest rated on the network.
Yep.
He was definitely the centerpiece of their primetime lineup. But, like you said, he's been threatening to do it for a long time. So, now, and here it is, and I can't wait to see what he does next. He's certainly not reached his peak. And that was his second gig at MSNBC in primetime, so he might go back sometime in the future. Interesting casting notes. Anne Hathaway will revive Catwoman in the next Chris Nolan Batman film.
That is going to be so smoking hot.
I know, right?
Oh.
How very not Halle Berry it will be. Michael Clark Duncan will co-star in a Bones spinoff.
Which is weird to me, because I've been enjoying him on 2.5 Men and thinking he might do a comedy. So, I mean, I know
Bones... He's a very talented.
Bones is a more comedic
Bones
drama.
Bones is very funny.
Yeah, well, it's not very funny.
It is very funny.
It's moderately funny.
For a procedural.
It's quirky a little.
All right.
It's quirky on the quirky side of procedural.
So that'd be a good thing for Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good, and he's such a great dramatic actor.
Yeah, I like
too.
Him a lot.
Former Secret World of Alex Mack star Larissa Olnick.
Yeah, you got
is,
it.
Is that name, I swear.
No, it's true. I had to practice it because when I cast her in Broken Windows and I was like, okay, I got to make sure I say it right.
Well, she's joining the cast of the new Hawaii Five-0.
Yay.
So that should be interesting.
Excellent.
Yes, yes, yes.
Adore
Moving
her.
On. Let's talk about the Razzie Award nominations.
One of my favorite
awards.
I'm
so friggin' excited. Worst Picture nominees include The Bounty Hunter, The Last Airbender, Sex and the City 2, Twilight Eclipse, and Vampires Suck.
It's got to be Twilight.
It's got to be Twilight.
Yeah.
It has to be Twilight.
That group of people couldn't loathe Twilight more. Worst Actor nominees are Jack Black, Gerard Butler, Ashton Kutcher for Killers and Valentine's Day. So he gets an...
Whenever they get a double nomination, that's a good sign at the Razzies, unlike in other awards.
And and Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson are also double.
Might be a tie.
It might be a three-way tie. Who knows?
It's going to be...
It's going to go to Taylor Lautner and Robert Pattinson, I bet.
I love it. I love it. And then how about the actresses?
The actresses, Jennifer Aniston for The Bounty Hunter and The Witch. Miley Cyrus in The Last Song. All of the women in Sex and the City 2.
Oh, yes!
Megan Fox and Kristen Stewart.
That's a great list.
It is. Now, my favorite, though, is worst couple / worst screen ensemble. Jennifer Aniston and Gerard Butler. Josh Brolin's face and Megan Fox's accent.
Oh, that's for Jonah Hex?
That's for Jonah Hex.
That is.
Oh, I love that movie.
The entire cast of The Last Airbender, the entire cast of Sex and the City 2, and the entire cast of Twilight Eclipse.
It's Twilight Eclipse. I call a sweep.
I don't know. How could you not vote for Josh Brolin's face and Megan Fox's
That's
accent?
A pretty funny nomination.
It pretty much is.
I like that.
So the Producers Guild Awards have come and passed. King's Speech won the top honors, which is a really great indicator for the Oscars.
I agree.
So I think this is looking more and more like King's Speech in the bag. And can I say, by the way, that Natalie Portman's rom-com, No Strings Attached, did upwards of $20 million this past
weekend. I saw that.
Which is the first in a long string of rom-coms to do well.
Right.
If there was... Not like she didn't already have the Oscar in the bag, but it's
a
done deal.
But there were people saying that that her being in a romantic comedy could undo any warm feelings that Academy voters were having toward her for an Oscar.
Yeah, romantic comedies are anathema to the Academy.
But unless I think it does well.
No, not with those voters. They erode the votes.
The Academy actually hate box office. Oh my God, it did well in the box office.
I don't think so.
It can't be an art
piece. I think a love-hate relationship with the box office, because sometimes I think they feel like they have to tip their hat to the box office.
It's a love-hate. No. They never feel like they have to tip their hat to the box office, but they may not be appalled by it.
Well, all right. All right, well...
We'll see.
Like it should be interesting. That is one I'm now officially interested in seeing.
You didn't get one for Man in the Moon? Jim Carrey?
Did he?
I don't think so.
I know that, Eddie Murphy was nominated, but then The Clumps 2 or something came out.
That'll do it.
What the hell, man?
That's Oscar repellent right there.
It really is. Yeah. And when he won, the Golden Globe or something, he was like, this is so not me. I'm like, way to unwin an Oscar.
That's about as good as it
he
gets.
He would have won. I think he would have won.
That was
Dreamgirls.
Dreamgirls.
And he was great in Dreamgirls, I have to say.
He's great in a lot of stuff.
So SAG and AFTRA have both taken steps toward merger. The SAG board unanimously passed a motion allocating $70,000 in additional funding to the SAG-AFTRA Relations Task Force and the President's Forum for One Union. AFTRA did something very similar. They didn't necessarily dedicate any more cash, but they overwhelmingly passed a resolution to support the same.
Well, they don't have much cash.
No, they
don't.
Let's call a spade a spade,
really.
Well, that's because they don't demand cash from the
AMPTP,
so...
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
You don't get cash if you don't ask for it.
Speaking of not getting cash if you don't ask for it, can we talk about Kevin Smith and his dick move at Sundance this weekend?
What a dick.
Yeah, to give the overview on this, Kevin Smith basically brought all of the buyers together, which is common at Sundance and all major film festivals where buyers show up to bid on distribution of major films, and decided to basically say, F you, I'm taking this straight to the fans on Twitter and through my website.
Wait, describe exactly what happened. He made them sit through the movie.
Oh, yeah. They wasted 2 hours of their time for what they thought was going to be a screening, and then following that would be an auction for the property. And he started the bidding at $20. This is according to Nikki Fink over at Deadline Hollywood Daily, of course. Started the bidding at $20, which is a ridiculous opening bid, obviously. And then, of course, closed the bidding. And he and his co-host, his hockey stick, then decided to go into why they would be taking this to the fans, which is a movement that I think people would have supported had he just been open about that being his plan. Because if we look at indie artists or artists who take things away from a major record label and straight to the fans, like Oasis or Pearl Jam, you know, it's not out of this world that that happens. But to do it with such an it's like he acted like he was on an episode of Entourage.
Yes. Having said that, though, are Kevin Smith's greatest fans people who also feel like, fuck you, industry?
I'm sure of that.
Well, so all 10,000 of them or whatever? I'm just saying, he's not going to make his money back.
But how do you do an F you to the industry that you beg to be a part of?
Eventually, he's going to need DVD distribution.
And you can't do that on your own.
No, you cannot.
I'm not sure that that's true anymore, guys.
Well, is he going to go to CreateSpace on Amazon?
He's going to do...
But is he not going to... So he won't get it in any retail stores.
Untrue.
How? Tell me how he doesn't use an established distribution arm to get his DVD at Amazon and at FYE.
You say, hey, I'm Kevin Smith. I want to be on Amazon.
So he has to make individual deals with every one of those retailers.
It'll be like self-publishing.
And more
yeah.
correctly, he will hire a lawyer to do all of that work for him, or
well,
a secretary.
You know what? I guess this is where his fuck you money comes in. If he can afford to do that, which I didn't know that Kevin Smith had that much in the bank, but... If he can do that, great. But, you know, he's certainly not blazing a trail for other independent film producers because not everybody has the cachet or the resources.
But maybe he is blazing a trail for other independent
filmmakers.
It's
one of the things, you know, one of my mantras in the world is there's no such thing as good things or bad things that happen to you. There are things that happen and the grace with which you deal with them. And honestly, I think that if Kevin had been up front and said, hey, I'm displaying my movie at what's supposed to be an independent film...
Acquisitions.
An independent film festival, and I'm planning on distributing it myself because one of the things that I see being in the middle of the industry is that distribution is now the huge bottleneck. It used to be producing, now it's distribution. And so why don't you guys who want to support truly independent film projects come and see my film that I am going to distribute on blah, 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 blah. That would have been a very grace-filled way to blaze the trail.
And that's what I'm thinking. In a way, he has blazed a trail. He just did it while, you know, lighting his farts on fire behind him. And then what will happen is the industry will correct in the other direction, and there will be filmmakers who are more capable of doing an indie distribution
true.
Because of what he's done.
That's fair.
But he didn't have to...
Well, you know, I have to say I'm a fan of Kevin Smith, but also you cannot buy class. And he has been successful, but none of what he has done here is classy.
You tell that to Britney Spears and her bare feet.
I know, right?
Right? My ex-boyfriend says she has grocery store feet, which I think is hilarious because that's like not just bare feet.
Now, are they still called grocery store feet or are they now Walmart feet? That's my question. MTV Skins is losing a lot of advertisers. So H&R Block, Wrigley, GM, and Taco Bell, and now Subway have all pulled their ads from, well, the Parents Television Council is taking a lot of credit for the pressure.
They always do.
Don't they always? Mm-hmm. We did this. Mm-hmm. But needless to say, MTV Skins is still on the air and they are seeking new advertisers. But according to Deadline, got a lot of companies that have pulled out.
Now,
so.
here's my question, though. What is H&R Block doing advertising to the viewers of a show like Skins anyway?
You know, when you get a job at 16, you still have to pay taxes, right? But I think that advertisers, especially the people who are bigwigs at a lot of companies, they care less about whether or not their target audience is actually watching a show and more about what they get to brag about at the country club.
You're probably right.
So, and Tavern on the Green that doesn't exist anymore. So wherever they go,
yeah.
You know, I think that they probably had no idea what they were even advertising. Or relatively little. And that does not mean to discredit the hardworking people in the advertising industry, but...
So that's very good. You made sure you didn't Kevin Smith that.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that but it has been my experience, and I used to be in PR, that sometimes the executives of companies are more worried about what feels good to them. Because they have money and they can do that.
Well, no, but maybe it does good for the company to be advertising on that show so that they can say they're advertising all over the place.
Sure. And maybe they have some kind of overall advertising deal with MTV for their young adults and stuff like that, and just some of their stuff ended up on Skins. Clint Eastwood is to direct Beyonce in the musical of A Star is Born.
I am so excited
about
that.
Now the fourth version of that film. I just, yeah, you know, I was reading this on Deadline, and they were and she was going on about the possibilities for the man to play opposite Beyonce and
Mel Gibson.
You keep saying Mel Gibson. I can't imagine how that could be a good thing, except a wonderful train wreck. But Will Smith, P. Diddy, Eddie Murphy, or if we're going to go with white guys, she suggested maybe Robert Downey Jr. or John Hamm, which are names that have been floating.
Yummy.
There's no way this is not going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
And I'm one of the people who thinks that Beyonce isn't that bad. I get a lot of flack for that, but I think she has a promise. I don't think she's that great of a singer, and I'm not sure I'm really impressed with her as a charismatic personality, but as an actor, I think she's
Oh, I'm excited about this. I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
And so then we're wrapping up the news with
The Social Network is number one in DVD and Blu-ray sales while still being in 380 theaters.
I saw it in theaters, and then I watched the screener on a Mac laptop hot Friday night, and it was amazing and wonderful and just as fantastic as I remembered it being. And I stopped it several times and rewound it and wrote down lines because that Aaron Sorkin is just so damn clever.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I haven't seen it.
You're gonna love it because for a talking movie,
I love The West Wing. Everybody I know saw it before I got a chance to, so I had no one to go with, and I kind of hate going to movies by myself.
Yeah.
So now I've just got to find somebody who has a screener who might want to lend it to me.
We'll see what we can do.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, we'll see. So, that's the news as reported by Deadline and others, brought to you from us, and we hope you enjoyed it.
And so, for this week, I want to basically give a tip about your environment. This is what Monday's column was about at The Actor's Voice on showfactsandactorsaccess.com. Your environment is really important, and a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to pursue whatever segment of this industry they are pursuing from home and from their computers. And there's certainly a great amount of stuff you can do, including social networking. I'm not going to say that's a bad idea, but as the brilliant actor and inspirational, motivational speaker Stefan Fuller loves to say, I get out and hustle and meet people because ain't nobody casting anything in my living room. And I absolutely love that. It is really beneficial to get out and find your tribe, find the people who make your heart sing, who make you more inspired to create things. And whether that's joining us tonight for the LA Actors Tweet Up, which happens every 6 weeks. And now it has sister events in New York and the UK. And coming up this summer, Tweet Up on a Boat.
Tweet Up on a Boat.
I am so down for that.
Cool. I think they have one in Chicago too, don't they?
Oh, great. Fantastic. And I hope they spring up all over the place because it's a brilliant way to use social networking as a way to then bring you together in person where you can really brainstorm and create some great ideas. Tuesday night is Naked Angels, Tuesdays at 9, which is a great place for writers and future showrunners, producers, casting directors to scout actors, acquisitions people from networks and production companies to scout material development.
Right, and they started in New York and have moved to LA, and they are now in both places.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've been going to New York.
People who
absolutely.
In that.
Yeah,
and they are so cool with whomever.
Yeah,
you bring a couple bucks to contribute to the rental of the space. Get a drink. Get there early because it's a small space, but you get in there and...
Tuesdays at 9 o'clock at St. Nick's Pub over there on 3rd Street.
Next to the Beverly Center.
Yeah, next to the Beverly Center.
And then if it's not your thing, there's also, I think, every first Wednesday of the month, the Actors Lounge, which is where actors get up and do open mic type things and jam and collaborate. I mean, and you've got a thing you're going to with the Writers Guild?
It's not the Writers Guild. It's
It's
called Friday Night Drinks once a month, the first Friday of every month. Writers get together at the X Bar at Avenue of the Stars from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock.
So basically, there are things like this going on all over town.
No matter what you do.
Exactly. Whatever your area is, or even if you're not in a major city, you could probably, within a tank of gas, drive to something that's going on. And if not, let's say you're in a small town, find a group of people and just get out of your space and go to a coffee shop and collaborate on something, create something, and don't just stick on the one side of the computer that makes you feel a little isolated, because this is a tough business, and the more connections you have, the faster you rise.
That's a universal thing.
Yeah.
And no matter what industry you're in, work doesn't just come to you. You go get it. Most people, when they change careers or they change jobs, that came from a networking thing that they did, a friend they had, or somebody they knew they used to work with, or something like that. It's not like you can just go to monster.com or whatever and find your gig. And I also need to recommend meetup.com has some really great groups. There's a producers group in LA. There's a gays in entertainment group that I'll be going to on February 1st or 4th, I think.
Oh, and there's BizNIC for small business owners, which has been really inspiring for me. I've been going to that for 2 years, and BizNIC has meetup groups all over the country. And that's not just for entertainment industry.
It's for whatever.
Yeah.
Small business owners. So get out there, find your group, and if you can't find one, make one.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for spending your time with us today. I'm Ryan Basham. Our engineer, producer, and haysayer is Keith Johnson.
Hey.
And your host, Bonnie Gillespie.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll see you back here next week. Until then, keep creating.